Well, now the hard work really begins for agencies to make their spending data more transparent. The Office of Management and Budget issues new guidance and other tools to begin the implementation of the Data Accountability and Transparency Act, or DATA Act. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about the new policy in his biweekly feature Inside the Reporter's Notebook. He joins me now to explain what agencies have to do over the next couple of years. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
And so what you're writing is that the Obama administration kind of fought this bill when it was making its way through Congress, and now they've really gotten behind it, I guess. And so what does it call for, and when has it first came into law?
Right, you're absolutely right. This was not a popular bill among the Obama administration initially. And what the Data Act does is basically says to agencies, you will come up with standards, you will come up with data elements, and you will figure out a way to make public all the spending data that the government already owns and already does. And if you remember, Tom, this Data Act really is a follow-on to the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act, one of my still favorite acronyms in all of government, FFATA. FFATA was introduced and signed into law in 2006, and while the Bush administration, George W. Bush, was very much supportive of FFATA, implementation fell well short. And over the years, Congress actually recognized that there's a change in technology, a change in the data environment, and thus the Data Act was born. Now, it has changed over the years until it finally became law. But long story short is Congress gave the executive branch led by OMB and Treasury until 2017, May of 2017, to really get this implementation done, which, again, it seems very simple on its face. You know, come up with data elements and data standards and publish the data. But it's a lot harder than many people think.
All right. So now the administration has met a first deadline, I guess, in all of this. What is in that new policy? What does it call on agencies to do right now?
Right. The first deadline was Friday. I guess officially it was Saturday based on the law. But because, you know, the way the government works, we know it's Friday. And what's interesting is they did several different things. First of all, they released a set of 12 finalized data elements. They released a set of 15 more data elements that are in final review. And then they released yet a third set of data elements, 30 in all, that still need to go through the public and agency comment phase. And that's huge because that's going to be the 57 data elements that really are going to make up this new Data Act database that's going to come out in the next 2 years. The other things they did was a new Data Act schema, they're calling it, the data schema, which is basically a way to digitally tag data using extensible markup business reporting language, or XBRL, something that the Securities and Exchange Commission has been using for several years very successfully. The other thing it does, Tom, is OMB issued new policy about the implementation of the Data Act. Now, imagine this will be one of several that will be coming over the next couple of years. And what this policy calls for, and this is, I think, one of the most important pieces, is for every agency to designate a senior accountable official to lead the law's implementation. And what OMB, I think, is trying to do here is not say, please make this other duties as assigned, but where is the belly button for us to push that will make this happen and kind of herd the cats? Because this is not just contracting data, but this is contracting data, grant data, loan data. This is all the spending money that goes out the door. And not all that data lives in one database, not all held by one part of the agency. So this one person really will bring everything together. And then finally, Tom, the other thing that Treasury issued this past week was a new Digital Act playbook. And this is really borrowing from the TechFAR, from the Digital Services playbook, this idea of highlighting 8 straightforward steps to really implementing the law. We have a link to all of those things on federalnewsradio.com for people to check out on their own.
And Jason, getting back to that federal official in each agency who's designated as you put it, the belly button to push when it comes to the Data Act implementation, it sounds like that should be someone in the chief financial officer chain of command.
On paper, yes. But I think what OMB is saying to each agency is you figure out who that best person is and you designate that person. We're not going to tell you it's got to be the CFO or someone in the CFO's office. Now, it seems to be that may make sense, but you have some agencies like HHS, for instance, Tom, that does probably as much grants as they do procurements. So maybe it's a grant thing. Or maybe you have other agencies that you know, in SBA, for instance, they do a lot of loans. Maybe it's a loan person. So it's really depending on the agency.
All right. So the first step agencies have to do, though, is designate that person, whoever it is. And
correct.
That person will then look for how to take those data standards and find out all of the elements in spending data that that agency has and make sure those standards are applied.
Correct. Now, there's several things that are going to be going on at once, but right, having that senior agency accountable official is the key piece to really start bringing each of the pieces within each agency together. And eventually, you know, they're going to all feed into whether it's USAspending.gov or whether there's a new site that comes out eventually. It's unclear right now.
But the point of all this ultimately is for the government and the public or anybody else to be able to know what the government spends on what at a very fine degree of detail.
Correct. And I think a lot of the lessons that were learned was from the Recovery Act. Because of what the, you know, Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board did, the you know, basically Congress step back and says, well, look how successful that was. You could go down to the state level, you could go down to the to really some minute details to figure out who was doing what and when and where were the money going. Why can't we do this for all of spending? And I think that's where the goal would be.
And Jason, we should also point out, too, it's not just contract spending, but also grant spending eventually that this will apply to.
And loan spending, too. So all money that goes out the door from an agency, absolutely.
All right, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And you mentioned briefly Treasury, which is really the equal partner to OMB, right, in the whole carrying out of all this?
Correct. They play the lead implementation role from an agency perspective. You know, obviously they can't set necessarily policy, but they work very closely with OMB. They work very closely with the Government Accountability and Transparency Board, the GAT Board, which is really modeled after the RAT Board, the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. And the idea is they're working together to come to do piloting, to come up with those data standards, to really usher the process through. And again, you know, I'll go back to a couple things that when I spoke with Dave Mader on Friday, I spoke from OMB, the controller. I spoke with Dave Lebrecht, who is the fiscal assistant secretary from Treasury, who's really leading this effort. And they like to call themselves the Dave and Dave show. And many times both of them have said, you know, that this is definitely a crawl, walk, run. You hear that a lot from this administration. And we're still in the government's still in the crawl phase. But they're going to, you know, Treasury's leading some pilots. Treasury's leading the effort. They did some mapping through this playbook to make it easier in agencies to show how these data elements map back to, for instance, data in a typical agency. So what Treasury is really trying to do is give them a lot of tools and a lot of understanding of what steps you need to take, where do you need to go, and how, and, you know, in the end, where you should you be, you know, have their eye on the end goal.
All right. I want to switch gears for a minute and ask you about something else in your notebook that is published just now at federalnewsradio.com. And that is what's going on with shared services with respect to the Defense Information Service Agency field activity.
Well, it's interesting. Now, we broke the news back in April that basically the Pentagon Reservation and the National Capital Region, so NCR, and the Pentagon itself, the building, the Pentagon, I don't want people to get confused thinking we're talking about the entire Defense Department, are moving to a single shared service provider. They're basically consolidating at least two, if not three or four, different IT, commodity IT providers within all of the Pentagon, and they are moving into a single joint IT single service provider, Pentagon, the JITSSPP. So, of course, never an easy acronym in DOD. And they're basically taking parts from the Army IT Agency, the Office of Secretary of Defense's Enterprise Information Technology Services Division, and some other providers, and bringing them all under this new entity. And Deputy Secretary Bob Work signed off the memo just on May 1st. And it's very interesting. When we wrote about this, I actually got a letter to the editor, if you will. One of the few letters we got, this was a regular old U.S. Postal Service letter, not through email. And the person who wrote to me said basically, this is more than just a consolidation. People are going to lose their jobs. And in fact, Tom, part of the savings will come from a changing of people's jobs, not necessarily losing jobs. But this is a big deal for DOD. I mean, this is a big, they're expecting millions and millions of dollars in savings.
Well, you would think a building that big, but has one single location, even if it has five rings, would still want to have a single provider because it would just make things much simpler for anyone needing service.
And in the end, that's what the DOD Chief Information Officer, the DOD Deputy Chief Management Officer, they led a study, concluded this doesn't make sense. This grew up kind of disparately. Let's bring them all together. We can get better cybersecurity. We can get better service. We can do it cheaper, faster. And I think when you look at large organizations, whether it's the Pentagon, whether it's you know, a company, you know, Procter & Gamble, or whether it's, Google or Microsoft or whomever, they don't have multiple people providing, infrastructure services or video teleconferencing systems or trying to, do cybersecurity standards. They have one. And the reason why it's one is because of cost, because of ease, because of efficiency. And I think, basically Bob Work said, we're spending too much money. We could put that toward warfighter needs. And two, this just doesn't make sense in this day and age when commodity IT is, that's why we use the word commodity. It's done, widely enough. We all understand how it works, what needs to get done.
All right. So things will be a little easier for the users at the Pentagon. And briefly, I wanted to ask you about one more item, and that is GSA's estimates for data reporting. There's new rules out on that, and already some of the associations are getting up on their hind legs.
Oh, this is going to be a big fight, Tom. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is very interesting. Now, you had Jeff Kosis on a couple weeks back to talk about this proposed rule on transactional data reporting.
Yes.
And basically, we'll give you the real long story short, is GSA is asking vendors to submit data on 11 different elements as part of this move to category management. The GSA estimated in its proposed rule that it would take an average company 6 hours to set up to report these 11 data elements, and an average of 31 minutes a month to report those data elements monthly.
31
minutes.
What I wouldn't have given it a moment over 29.
Not a moment over 30. The Coalition for Government Procurement and the Professional Services Council both came out very strongly against these estimates. In fact, CGP talked to their membership and said, okay, what do you think this would take you? And let me read some of these numbers for you real quick. Small businesses estimated it would take them 232 hours to set this up and require them to spend 38 hours a month to do the reporting. Large businesses said this rule, the way it's written now, would be even more burdensome, taking more than almost 1,200 hours to set up and take them 68 hours a month to report. This is, this is just, a kind of a survey of their members. The Professional Services Council didn't survey their members, but they also believe that GSA's timing is what they call underestimated, understated, and would cause huge burdens on the vendor community. This is gearing up, Tom. This will be an interesting move.
Well, if the government says 31 minutes a month and a company says, it's really 68 hours a month, then they are nowhere even in the same ballpark.
Correct. Now, even if you think, the vendors are just overstating it purposefully and the government's understating it, that's still, you're not talking about someone says 1 hour and someone says 2 hours and you can find a happy medium. I'm not sure what the happy medium is between, 31 minutes a month and 68 hours a month.
Well, I agree. Yes, this is going to be a big one, which I'm sure you'll stay on top of. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks so much for that report.
Thank you, Tom.